Well, it's happening. We reported with a World First exclusive that Disney is preparing to reset Star Wars. Then, 12 hours later, Nielsen confirmed the sequel trilogy is a ratings disaster for Disney+. Days after that, photos came out showing Disney top executives were at Lucasfilm only hours before we ran our original scoop. Now, things they are a-changing. The Mandalorian box office is looking wobbly at best, and Ahsoka Season 2 is likely going into reshoots with a major delay already here. Hello, folks. Hello, friends. Welcome back yet again. What a beautiful day to be alive. The sun is shining, and even if the clouds are overhead, folks, hang tight. Mr. Blue Sky is on his way once more. We call him Mr. Blue Sky. It's Lorne. Lorne is the Star Wars guru extraordinaire of the internet, of the world. Lorne, welcome back.
Thanks. That's some pretty hefty shoes that you got me filling there.
Well, listen, I'd rather give that title to you than Pablo Hidalgo or Dave Filoni. I want you to have it, okay? Will you take it? Run with it, Lorne. Run with it.
All right, let's go.
All right, folks, as we run with it, you click the like button, and off we go with geeksandgamers.com. Marvin Montanaro says Ahsoka Season 2 has been delayed to 2027. Are reshoots happening as Star Wars strategy shifts? Disney officially confirmed that Ahsoka Season 2 has been delayed to early 2027, and the timing of that release is already raising major questions about what's happening behind the scenes at Lucasfilm. The delay is particularly noteworthy because the second season reportedly wrapped filming months ago. Under normal circumstances, a completed season of a major streaming series would not be sitting on the shelf for over years unless something significant was happening internally. Now, fans are beginning to wonder whether Ahsoka Season 2 was delayed for something far more than scheduling issues. Lorne, there's no way this is a scheduling issue. This is 100%, I believe, the result of Disney needing to jettison what they had with Ahsoka and change it at least a little bit. And this, Lorne, I mean, we can't do this on our own, all right? I mean, there's no way that we can predict this, and it happens 2 weeks later. It does look like the report we gave that they may make major changes to Ahsoka to wrap all this up and try to start fixing Star Wars. That could be happening. Your thoughts on it, Lorne?
Yeah, my thesis has been for the last year to year and a half, pretty much since The Acolyte came out and crashed hard, that they put the brakes on everything. And I think what they were doing was waiting for Kathleen Kennedy to finally get out the door before they could begin implementing some of these changes. They began making changes to the parks. We knew that work on many of the projects that they had announced was effectively stopped. That included on the Dawn of the Jedi project, Taika Waititi's project, the Rey movies not going anywhere. The only things that sounded like they were still in production were The Mandalorian and Grogu, the Starfighter movie, and Ahsoka Season 2. I think what we have been feeling is that they wanted to see how both The Mandalorian and Grogu and Starfighter were going to be received by the audience before they tried to make a determination of what do we need to do. I think what this is signaling is that they no longer feel they have to wait. They already know The Mandalorian and Grogu is not going to do the kind of box office numbers that they were hoping it was going to. I think what you had said previously was that they thought that they would go through Ahsoka Season 2 and then make a decision about whether they need to pivot. I think that's off the table now, too. I think that they have decided we can't wait. We've got all of the data that we need. Something must be done. And I agree with you that the show was already in the can. You don't delay the release of it unless you're running into major issues finishing up the VFX, if you've discovered something wrong with the footage that already existed, or unless you're changing it. And I think what really guides us in the direction that I think we're going is that when those top brass from Disney go to visit, you can understand why Josh D'Amaro and Dana Walden might be going out to Lucasfilm, because they're the new top brass. You can position that as, we're introducing ourselves, we're wanting to see the operations, we want to have a glad-handing session, etc. But Alan Bergman was with them, and I think that changes the conversation significantly.
So the other thing here, Lorne, is if they're doing reshoots, then the distinct possibility exists that those reshoots are so that they can fix the ending, so they can get to whatever that mini project is we talked about to do the reset. Like, yes, they can't end on a cliffhanger. They can't expect to have more seasons. They got to get ready to jettison everything. And so I think that might be what the reshoots are about. I don't know. What's your thesis on that being what it is they're doing?
Yeah, I think what they've been trying to determine is there a way to move forward, continuing with the Mandoverse, which included all of these ancillary TV projects, or not? And I think that this is kind of the final determination that no, we can't. We have to end with Ahsoka season two and provide the escape hatch that lets us do whatever we're going to do next. And I think that also ties into that meeting that's taking place between Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, because he said that he was going to be finding out what exactly is going on with the Mandoverse after we have this movie release. I think that they have already decided we have all the data we need. It's obvious that we cannot move forward with the sequel trilogy timeline. So we're going to have to figure out how are we wrapping it up, and we need to start planning for whatever the projects that we're going to be taking on later. The planning for that has to start happening now, so that next year they can start getting their resources in order and start figuring out what are we going to shoot and how are we putting this together. It takes time to get a production going. They don't have any time to waste.
Lauren, not everybody's happy about this. Paul Tassi, who we've gotten into a little bit of a tussle recently, and I still like Paul. Paul's fine. Not everybody likes Paul, but I like Paul, right? Paul's a good guy, maybe. Paul took umbrage with me about the report about the Star Wars sequel trilogy reset. Starting to think Paula might be upset about that. Ahsoka season one and two's revealed release date gap is totally absurd, he says. And he's basically complaining, Lauren, that we're now going from a 2023, I believe, was when it was originally released, season one, all the way to 2027. But that actually, I think, fortifies what we're saying here. They're completely changing the plans behind the scenes, and perhaps things went so badly that executives had to stop at Lucasfilm under the new direction of Josh D'Amaro and say, "This is done. This is worse than Jimmy Kimmel. Like, this is a fire we must put out now because billions and billions of dollars are at stake if we don't fix this immediately."
Yeah, I think that's true. And the issue that they have is we've talked about, do they try to introduce some plot point that allows them to branch off the sequel trilogy into its own separate thing that no longer counts? Or do they just try and tiptoe around it? And my worry is that if you try and do some type of a story fix where you pseudo keep it while also eliminating it, whatever you're going to do is going to be so convoluted that just makes things more complicated, more silly. I think they would be wiser to just drop it. But I also think they're going to be unwilling to do that. So I would guess that right now, the mandate is going out that's saying, look, we're not continuing with the sequel trilogy. We're not going to continue to try and push this. We have to pivot back to something that the fans actually want. They're impressing upon Filoni and Lin-Manuel Brennan and the other people that you're going to have to get your people in line. We're now about making profits, and we're going to start catering to the audience. We need to figure out what that means. That's going to take some exploration time while they try and blue sky whatever it is they're going to do. But it's impressing upon them that this is going to happen. It's no longer a question.
And could you explain to the audience who's watching this, Lauren, and maybe it's the first time they're joining us, and maybe they've heard about this scoop that we did back on May 3rd, and they're saying, my gosh, they actually seem to have been on the money here. I'm going to start listening to what they have to say. Lauren, can you explain the logic behind why this Ahsoka series really is the last chance for them to fix this whole franchise in a way that makes sense? It gets really difficult after this point. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of this is still speculation, but it's based on the existing story points that they already have. And it's speculation that a lot of people have had in different variations. The World Between Worlds is a place that was introduced in the Rebels TV show that is an area within the Force that connects all space and time. And it has been used in a pseudo time travel style once before in the show, during which a scene in which Ahsoka likely would have died was actually rescued by Ezra and pulled into a different time to prevent her death from occurring. And my speculation here is that the reason this is important is that Ahsoka, because she survives, later meets with the Mandalorian, tells him that he needs to take Grogu to Tython, where a Jedi can possibly be reached for training, and it is there that Grogu is kidnapped by Moff Gideon and the Empire so that they can extract more blood to continue their cloning experiments
And
that
that's
are.
real quick, Lauren, that's what a lot of people don't understand. I don't want people to glaze over who aren't Star Wars fans. to simplify this, they took the Mandalorian concept and they connected it with the sequel trilogy. So that's where they were originally planning to go. I don't think that's where they're planning to go anymore.
Well, if the speculation for how they would fix this story-wise is in the ballpark, what you have to do is prevent the Empire from capturing Grogu a second time and getting more blood. If they don't get more blood, they can't clone Emperor Palpatine, and so everything that happens there cannot occur. That's if they want to fix it through a story means. I still worry that's too convoluted. I think that casual audiences are going to have trouble following that kind of thing. I think it would be wiser to just paper it over time. Just start over back from the back end of Return of the Jedi and start telling new stories that just never lead in the direction that they started. But I don't know if they would be willing to do that. And there's also a danger that you could still confuse the audience by doing that.
Speaking of which, it's amazing that you said that, and we can segue perfectly into the next point. I don't think you've even seen this yet. But the Kathleen Kennedy era of Lucasfilm is going to continue on for a while. She's gone somewhat, but the people that she put in place and the projects that she had going on, they're still going to release over time, one would believe. So even though we're pivoting, that pivot may not show itself until next year. And in the meantime, Star Wars Holocron, who we've featured humorously recently because they're very excited. They're really excited about some of the Star Wars stuff coming out to the point that it seems like they're using Disney scripts. Anyway, Star Wars Holocron says Rey explains why she took on the Skywalker name in the new in-universe history book, The Secrets of the Jedi. Quote, to proudly wear my master's name while doing so in honor of his life and his sacrifice, Luke Skywalker may be gone from this plane just like all the Jedi who came before him, but he will live forever because in the end, I am all the Jedi and maybe we all are. Now, there's one thing I want to bring. I know, Lorne. There's an obvious way to respond to this, and there's a non-obvious. You ready for the non-obvious?
Go ahead.
Who's missing? Think about that, Lauren. Now, you're on this. Who's missing from that statement?
I guess I'm not quite sure where you're directing this. Are you talking about Leia, or?
No. Watch this. You ready? There's ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to full screen this man, okay? Watch the light bulb about to burst forth with energy. Gigawatts, as they say around here. Lorne, if all the Jedi from before are gone, just like Luke, that would include Ahsoka. So is Ahsoka gone in the sequel trilogy?
Well, this is kind of why this entire quote is nonsense to begin with. And part of why the sequel trilogy broke so much it went before. The lore is that the Jedi had forgotten to survive after how to survive after death. They didn't even know they could do that. The only one who did know how to do that was Qui-Gon. And Qui-Gon taught Yoda. Yoda taught Obi-Wan. They are the ones who are able to do it. The other Jedi couldn't. So in The Rise of Skywalker, when you hear all of these voices speaking from beyond,
right,
That was immediately nonsense. Now, there is kind of an issue that still exists in the continuity for this, which is, how did Anakin figure it out? Right. But that's a minor issue compared to the idea that all of the Jedi suddenly are maintaining their identity after death. That's just a problem. And Ahsoka, in that scene, does speak, which also implies that, yes, she had passed on as well.
Right.
So,
but yes, So, okay, this is the point I'm making, Lauren.
Yeah.
If in the canon already we can presume that Ahsoka dies, it's not such a big sacrifice for Filoni to have Ahsoka die at the end of season two or in a little mini project that resets the timeline. She's going to die one way or the other. That's already explicitly, at least, you know, given to us in the sequel trilogy. The other thing, though, Lauren, is when you look at this coming out, this brand new The Secrets of the Jedi, this, I think, represents the Kathleen Kennedy attempt to do cleanup. How can I make everybody happy? How can we do this? And it fails miserably. Nobody likes this. There's only one way, and that is to branch this off and say, did you enjoy it? Well, you're one of the few. Still exists, kind of, sort of, but we're doing a reset.
I just think if I were the Disney executives, I would be saying what would immediately get us into a much better position with the people who still care about Star Wars. And that is just let it go. Just stop trying to save it for that vocal minority who claims to like the sequel trilogy, and just announce, yeah, we kind of screwed up here. We're gonna try and make it right. They'll never admit that kind of fault, but if they really truly care about profits, that would be the best starting place that they could start from.
All right, so one more point to you, Lauren, okay? One more thing to show you just how badly Star Wars was off. You ready for this? Ladies and gentlemen, this is now leaked from Star Wars Holocron, and well, it's not really leaked. It came from Disney upfronts, right? This is what was prepared to get the ad buyers, and boy, oh boy, did this blow up in Disney's face. Well, the Jimmy Kimmel side of this is awful. We'll talk about that later. In fact, later tonight on the Pro Show, don't miss it. Jimmy Kimmel attacking Disney on their own stage in front of their own ad buyers. It was unbelievable. He wants to be fired. This is what Star Wars brought out to convince ad buyers that they want to be a part of Ahsoka Season 2. According to Star Wars Holocron, Grand Admiral Thrawn and Admiral Akbar will face off in Ahsoka Season 2. This was the selling point that was designed, that was set up. I think this is partly too why we're getting reshoots, Lauren, because this is not going to do it. They have to go with a reset. Nobody cares because we saw what happens to Admiral Akbar. It's the same thing that happened to every legacy character. They ceremoniously slaughtered them. The sequel trilogy was, hey, folks, do you love Star Wars? Would you like to see us in a domino effect slaughter every one of your heroes? But first, we'll also make them impotent and emasculate them before we do so. Except for Leia. She'll be a girl boss who can survive in outer space. So, Lauren, this isn't going to work for them. That's why they have to change.
Yeah, I mean, what would have gotten me more excited is if I also mentioned that it's while Akbar is also trying to fend off Borsk Thalia's machinations in the Senate. If that were the case, they're paying more attention to the source material, and I think that that would make people at least a little bit happier. But they can't adapt all of that stuff. That's part of the problem with trying to do the adaptations of the novelizations, is that you have to cut so much to fit a predetermined runtime that you lose the essence of the story. They're in a real no-win situation here, and they waited so long to finally begin admitting internally that they have lost their audience goodwill that it makes it way harder to recover now. And I think they're, no matter what they do, they're still in a real pickle, because the next logical question is, okay, no matter how we wipe this, if we wipe this, if the next thing that we do, the audience also doesn't accept, you've got nowhere to go and the property's completely dead. I think that's the one reason that they still entertain the idea of keeping the branch part of the universe alive, is that they're doing the calculation that half of something is still better than all of nothing.
Now, Lauren, we've been doing this a long time, and we've got a heck of a track record that we've built up. This is a big one, though, and we went way out. I mean, how many times have people said the sequel trilogy is going to be reset, right? We went way out there, and things are now stacking up. I'm just curious your thoughts on how this has played out with us saying sequel trilogy reset, branched off, however you want to phrase it, however you want to frame it. And within days, everything starts changing. What would you give as the likelihood now for that rumor?
I don't like to make those kind of predictions, because it's like I was nervous about going out with this because we've heard it all before. And corporate behemoths like this do not like to move, and they never admit fault. But there is a leadership change. And that's significant, because whenever you have the big bosses at a studio change, the new regime never really wants to continue what the old regime was doing. They want to differentiate themselves. And I think that they really are hurting at this point. I think they recognize the extent of the brand damage, and they know that something has to be done. But I'm encouraged by the fact that we are seeing concrete action that's taking place behind the scenes. And without getting into details of things, I think that some of what we've heard has indicated that we're at least in some kind of a ballpark. And that always makes me feel a little bit better about how we're drawing conclusions. So that's where I'd leave it.
Now, Lauren, as I've said, we've been doing this a long time. You have been with the channels essentially since the beginning. For the very first time, though, May 27th, we go on camera. Well, you've been on camera. I go on camera in the studio, Lauren. You've seen the new studio. You've seen how it's going to look. And It's going to open up a lot of possibilities. It's something I've been very hesitant and reticent to do, but AI and YouTube, it means that we got to do it. And frankly, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Even though I will miss the anonymity of it all, I'm looking forward to being able to look into the camera and talk directly to viewers and do all the things that being frozen here with this cup in front of my face has prevented me for so long. Lauren, I just want to thank you, buddy. I've been going back through our videos to look at, you know, all the coverage we've done of Star Wars. And, you know, I'm actually nostalgic for doing this with you. It's been such a fun ride. And I, you know, we could not have done it without you. So I wanted to send you a special thank you at the end of this video to say, if we are heading for a reset, I think you played a part in that over time.
Well, we'll see. I am hopeful that some of what we're predicting is on the right track. And most especially, if it is, I hope that whatever they end up producing afterwards is good. That's all I want. I'm not rooting for Disney to fail.
We're not, yeah.
We want good stories. And this is a property that was loved by multiple generations. And if it were to finally falter and die, that would be a shame. And I'm hoping that somehow they find a way to get competent people in there who actually care about the property and want to see it continue into the future, because that's the only way Star Wars will survive.
Absolutely. All right, folks, it's your turn. Click that like button, subscribe, and share this out. And wouldn't you know it, tomorrow, Thursday on the Pro Show, not only will we have discussed Kimmel tonight, but tomorrow at noon Eastern, we will be joined by the Critical Drinker hopping on the channel for the very first time. Looking forward to that. We've got more coverage of everything Disney. We're helping them win, folks. We're helping them. The Pixie Dusters, the Cupcakers, they don't understand. But every time we criticize in an appropriate, polite way, it tells the mouse, this is the way back to the mainstream middle, the sensible center where money is made. Folks, until the next time, we have the honor, the privilege, and the pleasure of spending time together. Keep learning. Keep growing. And as always, keep having fun.